That includes you, Robert. You did. Okay, councillors, have we any apologies? We have P. Clark, C. Enright, and Gareth Craig.
Yeah.
Kevin McAteer, is there any other councillors' apologies?
Bloody noisy.
Okay. Councillors, can we have a bit of attention? Willie, come on, you too. Okay, have we any declarations of interest? No. Then we move on to... I forgot about my own chairman's remarks. First of all, could I, on behalf of all of us and as a council, unfortunately over the last number of weeks and since I took the post, we've had tragedy that has hit our district, and I don't think I, in my time as council, have ever witnessed as many tragedies in such a short space of time. And we pass on our condolences to the families of 6-year-old Ella Trainer from Hilltown, who unfortunately was killed in a tragic road accident. We then had the tragic fire in Castlewellan that took the life of Ellen Finnegan, who was 18 years of age. Then, following that, a young 10-year-old schoolboy in Mourne Point unfortunately passed away, Shane Nicol. And then, on top of that, a young fella from our district who had to go to Australia to find work, unfortunately, was lost in a drowning incident, and that was Niall Quinn, who was buried today at 27 years of age from Silverbridge. So, as I say, on behalf of the council, both councillors and staff, we pass on our condolences to the families of all. And hopefully, as I say, in last week and this week, I signed 4 letters. I don't think I signed 4 in the whole time I was chair of Newry and Mourne District Council. So let's hope it's a one-off. On a better note, the score was on over the weekend in Killarney, and we had success with Silverbridge, Mayo Bridge and Collyhanna. And I know a number of councillors have spoke to me in relation to it. So we spoke with Sheila this morning, and we're organising a civic reception where we'll invite the 3 winning groups up to the council chamber, more than likely in Newry because of where the 3 are from, and the councillors from the MDEs will be invited to it. Finally then, could I welcome Councillor Peter Burns, and I think it'll take a bit of getting used to the councillor bit. It normally does. You're very welcome, and I'm sure all the councillors here wish you the very best in your time here, and a big welcome, and I know you will be made welcome and you'll enjoy your time. And so, everyone. So, I'm not going to open it to the floor, but considering the night that is in it, I'm going to call on the group leader, which is Colin, to speak on behalf both of Peter, who is coming in, and also Geraldine, who has left us.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'd like to begin by extending my gratitude and to that of our grouping to Geraldine upon her retirement from the council. Geraldine's an absolute star. She was supportive, she was friendly, she was approachable, and she cared deeply about her area. And that was underscored, I think, by the numbers of people that voted for her, and also with the passion for which she spoke about Cross Maglen and the Slieve Gullion area. She was also a rock of sense, and she spoke in a down-to-earth manner that made you listen to what it was that she was saying. We want to wish her all the best with her retirement, and are glad that she will now get to go and relax and enjoy the area with all of the amenities and services that she fought so hard for over the years. And we would like, Mr. Chairman, as well, to welcome Pete, Councillor Byrne. He'll be an asset to our team, and he will be an asset to the Slieve Gullion area. He's a man with a wealth of community experience, and he puts that community first and front and centre of everything that he does. And he puts people first, and we know that that will go down well in his area. And with such admirable qualities, I think he is a most suitable replacement for Geraldine. We wish him well in his career ahead. We welcome him to our team and to this council. And I'm sure, Mr. Chairman, that everybody here will be kind to him as he settles in to the systems that we have here. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Colin. We warned Terry to leave him be the night, so you're all right, great tonight. Okay, we'll move on then to number three, which is the action sheet arising from the meeting on the 4th of January. Has anybody any issues in relation to that? No. Then we move on to item number four, again, the minutes of the council meeting on the 4th of January. Any issues? And for your proposer? Robert, second. Liz? No issues on that then. We move on to item number five, which is the minutes of the ERT committee on the 11th of January. Again, has anybody any issues? And for your proposer? Proposed Robert and second did Roisin. Nothing. Number six, the minutes of the SPNR committee meeting on the 14th of January. Have we a proposer and a seconder? Barra, have we a seconder? Robert again, is any issues? On to number seven then, minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities on the 18th of January. Proposer? Proposing, Liz. And are you seconding it, Charlie? Second it, Stevie. Any issues arising from that? Have you managed to work your iPod yet, Charlie, or can I move on? All right, you're both and you still can't work it. Number eight, the minutes of the RTS committee on the 20th of January. Have we a proposer?
Chairman, my red lights.
Harold and Henry, are you seconding it, Henry?
No, it's red light.
Yeah.
Second, Glenn Henry, go ahead.
Yeah, Chairman, it was just on the planning indicators aspect of the RAT meeting. I had asked for a meeting about the fish farm that had the potential to create 80 jobs, and I know that Councillor Hannah seconded it, and there was no opposition. And there's still, it's not in the minutes, but. I would still like that to go ahead if possible, because it is a pivotal scheme for our area, and there seems to be very, very little holding it up now, but it's just massive frustration all around. Thank you, Chairman.
Chairman, I'll arrange for the planning manager to meet with Councillor Riley on that.
Thank you. Okay, Sinead.
Thanks, Chair. It's on page 3 on the iPad. It's just, this came up at the RTS meeting, and just on reflection, I have a bit of an issue with the proposal to do away with the planning reference numbers from the public representatives, the contact sheet that were issued at the RTS meeting. I think doing away with the application numbers, it creates an air of secrecy. And moving forward with the new planning responsibilities we have, and in the interest of creating a more accountable and transparent way of working, I propose that we don't do away with the planning application numbers from that contact sheet that were circulated, and I propose we leave that document the way it is.
Okay, is there somebody to second that? Charlie?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's on page 2 and carries on to page 3. The last.
Sorry, Charlie, is this a different item? Yeah.
Different from that.
Yeah, can we deal with that one first then?
It's been proposed and seconded.
Yeah,
is
it all in agreement? Colin? Or Charlie, can you turn off for a second?
Suppose we have to.
Yeah, you do. Go ahead, Colin.
Somebody
who else? Declan?
Yes, thanks, Chair.
No, Declan. Colin was going to... No. Or go ahead then, Declan. Yeah, work away.
It was on page before, the License of Pavement Act.
We're dealing with this issue. Can you turn your light off now, too,
please? Yeah, good, right. So can you assure then we all get our turn again, that we're not...
No.
You can't?
Yes, you will. Colin, are you in now?
Just first of all, Chair, just to check procedurally, are we going down the right line here? If there's a recommendation from, you can't make a counter proposal, you have to reject the proposal that's come from the committee, and then if that's the case, we need to reopen it again for the discussion. Just would like us to adhere to standing orders.
Yeah. Chairman, we've proposed and seconded the accuracy of the minutes. Now we're taking the recommendations to get agreement. But if there's an issue wants to change in terms of recommendation, then you have a proposer and seconder to make an amendment to the recommendations to accept that. So it's up to the committee or up to the council now to make a decision in terms of the recommendations.
Okay. Chair, the only issue that we have with that matter is there is openness and transparency, and certainly nobody wants to move away from that, but there is such a thing as constituent elected representative confidentiality. People do approach you to ask you about an issue and they don't want it necessarily to be a public issue. I'm not citing any single application or any single councillor up for that, but just if people contact, for example, their MLAs from any party, or they contact their MP from any party, the fact that that information is then published by the council for all to see, it could result in a breach of confidentiality that is certainly in the Assembly and Westminster would be kept sort of, it would be most important, and if where that breach is happening, it could cause some issues and concerns. Has that been considered at all?
Okay. Go ahead.
Can I just point out that on the planning files, every contact is noted and registered, and those files are open for anyone to inspect. So that information is already out in the public domain. So just be aware of the fact it's already there and available to anybody to look at. We're not issuing it, publishing it, to be fair, but it is there and it is already publicly available.
Could we have that checked legally?
Yeah, I think that's what we were going to suggest here.
Yeah, we can take this back and get a legal position in terms of how all the changes in that, Chairman.
Okay, is everybody, Liz, or sorry, Sinead, your proposal, are you happy to wait for sort of some sort of legal opinion on it? Yeah. Right. Declan, no, I think Charlie was in before you. You did ask me that I go back to all those that had spoken. So
yeah,
start with
enough.
Charlie,
yeah.
And then I'll come over to you.
I'm not going to cause a scene, just looking for information. Is that all right?
I thought when you went for a week's holiday, you'd come back a bit happier.
Oh,
Jesus. Oh, Mike, you knocked me out of my stride there. It's to do with charges for blue and black bins. I had asked at the last meeting for a re-examination of the policy on the charging prices. Does that begin after these minutes are ratified, or has it already begun? Because we are concerned, and it was seconded by Councillor Gary Stokes, I think, last time we discussed it.
Chair, it hasn't been done yet because the minutes haven't been ratified and approved. So we're going to start tomorrow,
assuming it's going to start tomorrow. Can you let us know how it's progressing in a reasonable time frame?
Yeah.
Well, I hope that is the case, because I do recall requesting that a gate be put in the wall at Newry Graveyard from the tennis courts, and only I raised it again, you know, two meetings on, they probably would have went to the Carlsberg room along with everything else that I would ask for. So as long as it does come back to the next committee, I'll be happy enough with that.
Okay. Henry, the same issues, Charlie?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Declan. I better let him in, Henry.
Well, no, sir, if you're talking with the bins, so work away. You know,
Henry, is it the same as Charlie?
Well, more or less, Chairman.
More or less.
Yeah, Chairman, it's just the bins. We can't get them lifted down our way. Every single day. Every single day, Chairman, I'm not without exaggeration. There's people missing their bin lifts, and we're being told that the lorries, because the axle weights and this, and then we're told they're breaking down. It's making us look really idiotic, and I'm sorry to have to use that term, but all the more councillors, I'm sure, are getting the same phone calls, Facebook messages, emails complaining about it. And, like, we bought lovely new lorries that were meant to resolve all these issues, and it seems to be getting worse, Chairman.
And if you pass the details on to the relevant officer, Henry? Yeah. Okay. Declan, you're in now.
Yeah, Chair, it was really, when I looked at this, the Licence of Pavement Cafes Act, and this was brought at the end of the day to encourage a more cosmopolitan code of behaviour, really, a code of action in our area that we've become at the end of the day a more tourist friendly and, as I say, cosmopolitan. But I am looking at this with some sense of astonishment in that when people are allowed to drink coffee outside premises and eat food. Because of our bylaws, we can't have a glass of wine or a glass of beer. Now, I don't think this should be in the spirit of the, excuse the pun, in the spirit of this, that this actually legislation was taken in. And I would ask that we would certainly look at reversing whatever bylaw we have. And I have no absolute problem with certain people not allowed to drink in the streets per se, which they can still continue to do, as I observe. But if someone is outside a cafe with a licence, I do think that we should be moving in some way or other to legalise, instead of, actually, as I stated here, saying that there was nothing in legislation to cover the consumption of alcohol outside any cafe or bar premises that serve food. So I would ask the officer concerned to, with agreement, that we'll go off and look at that and see could we modernise ourselves to allow, at the end of the day, as I say, that small amount of alcohol to be taken along with a meal outside a cafe.
Okay, Canis, do you want to respond to that?
We can certainly look at that. We do have separate bylaws prohibiting the sale or consumption of alcohol on most pavements. So we would have to redact our bylaws and then change the bylaws and then have them readopted. That would be a lengthy process.
Okay, happy enough, Dag?
Yes, that'd be great. That would be progress. Okay. Marvellous, thank you.
Mark?
Yeah, just on the same point, it was myself that raised the alcohol situation with Mr. Jackson on that day, and following on from his answer, I checked the Hospitality Ulster, and the legislation does cover alcohol consumption, and in fact it does take into consideration the bylaws as well, that once the area outside of premises does become licensed, the bylaws don't apply, and in fact publicans don't even have to go to court to have their license extended, their official bar license extended. The legislation covers for that as well, once the council approves the outside area. So I think they really do need to take a closer look at this again.
Okay, do you want to respond to that, Canis?
It wasn't our interpretation of the legislation.
But you look into it and, yeah. Okay. Okay, councillor, move on to number 9 then. Minutes of the Audit Committee meeting on the 29th of October. Can we have a proposer? Anybody at the Audit Committee meeting?
Yes.
Councillor Casey? You second it, Mark? Yeah.
Well, these are the October, 29th of October ones. 29th.
Charlie here. And Kerry was there. Kerry or Davy Highland?
No. Okay, any items to raise in the Audit Committee?
Just give it, get a second.
Mark, you're seconding that? No.
You can't second.
Oh, he wasn't at it.
You say that Davy or Terry? Davy or Terry or.
Terry, you second that? The Audit Committee?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has anybody any issues to raise on it? That's why you got it. Number 10, the commemoration of the centenary of the Battle of the Somme. Now, I do know that this here issue was raised at group leaders and was discussed, and I think I know there's an agreement in place, so all we're really looking for at this stage is a proposer and a seconder from the floor. David proposed and a seconder for that, and Harry the second.
Yeah, just to read into it, that there's Councillor Burgess and Councillor Riley are the two representatives from the Sun and for this year, and they will go next year, and it would be a rolling basis just for that, for the tape, Chairman.
Okay. Okay. Okay, number 11. Update from Post Office, Drumintee Post Office. Just for noting, I take it. There's nobody any comment, no. Number 11A, All Ireland Local Authority Seminar, Dublin Cast, 25th of February, no cost. Are we looking. David? Proposed Councillor Burgess, are we a seconder for that? Harold? Anybody else?
There's no cost. It's been funded by Cooperation Ireland, Chairman.
So, so
if anybody else wishes to go, then they can contact the officers or the parties can get back. Declan, are you putting, you're happy enough with that? Yeah? Okay. Number 12, then, the health and social care reform and transformation, getting the structures right. Is that for noting?
Chairman, just to get a proposer and seconder for the consultation response, unless anyone wants to make any comments on it.
Have we a proposer? Davey, I'm seconded. David.
No comments.
Okay, no comment. 13, consultation on the interim structure for the EEA Education and Library Service.
Again, it just, I don't know if any members have any comments on it, Chairman. But it's there.
Again, if anybody wanted to make any comment, they could send their comments.
I think the response is due back, Chairman, I'm trying to find it here.
Is it not there? Is it not? On the, no.
I thought I seen it.
Are we making it?
That's the councillor's up to the party.
It's up to the party.
So really, it's up to any party or individual who wishes to make a response to it then. Okay, we'll move on to number 14 then. It's a reply from Charles Flanagan, proposal for the bridge at Nara Water in Newry. So I'll take number 17 at that as well, and it's another response from Minister McElveen, re Nara Water Bridge. And I do know that there is a meeting set up with the February
with officers and the committee.
And that will be followed then with the elected members. Okay. So is everybody happy on that to move on then? Okay. Number 15, response from Minister Durkin regarding the rate support grant.
There was two issues in terms of return and safeguard and the rate support grant. Members will know there was an announcement last week in terms of an increase in the rate support grant from the Minister, and he has given a commitment in the letter there to actually look at the calculation, which again is the big issue that we've got, Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. And can we move on to number 16, response from Road Service Re Bulls Hill? Is that for noting? Liz, sorry.
Chair, just on that, because it was something I'd asked for, and again, just very, very disappointed in Road Service response. You know, this it might be a low priority, but it isn't to the residents there who have to deal with ongoing antisocial behaviour. There's not even a light on the road, and in fact, recently, the three characters trying to get into some of the houses along there, they're reporting everything to the police. So the fact that they're saying there's nothing recorded is nonsense in my eyes. You know, they're not really looking at the impact, but we'll just keep going.
Maybe Liz suggests that through your DEA structure that you request them to a meeting.
Another one.
Another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to maybe...
Yeah, no, well, yeah, no, but it's just... Yeah. I just want it noted that I'm very disappointed in this.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Liz. Anybody else on that one? Sure. David, do you want
to... Yeah, I'd just like to back Liz up completely on that. I mean, I feel that these state bodies are just treating us as elected councillors as a joke. They're not responding at all to anything we raise, and they're treating us with contempt. That's the only word I can use to describe it. I know myself, in the last week I've been contacted by numbers of people relating to street lighting, which seems to be going out in every part of the district, in Cairn Hill, in Carna Park, in Carnegat Park, Bingham's Terrace, and Derry, in Ballyholen. The numbers just go on and on. And I did eventually contact someone on Cecil Street, and they said, we're working out... despite what Henry says, we're working outwards from Kakeel back towards Newry in terms of trying to sort out the street lighting issues. How long is that going to take?
Just from my own perspective, I rung Road Service myself last week, street lighting in relation to the amount of street lights are out. And the unfortunate thing about it is that they are not going out assessing what lights are actually out. It's up to residents or elected members to ring it in. If they're not rung in the numbers of the particular polls, they will not be fixed. No, but I'm saying, Davey, they are not going out looking for it themselves. They've actually got the staff that were doing that are no longer in that job, so it's a situation that's getting worse. Who's Henry?
Yeah, Chairman, just to agree with Councillor Hyland, but if they're saying they're working from Kilkeel out, there's something drastically wrong. There's huge tracts of urban areas, densely populated urban areas, that have their lights still not out after several months.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the Mill Road, Mountain Road, Crumlick Park, Newry Road, Riverside, all places in Kilkeel, and in all our parts of Annalong. And I have been following this up with DRD Street Lighting. And apparently Pat Brady's been off for a couple of weeks. And the responsibility is now with Jack Robinson up in Marlborough House in Craigavon. And Chairman, I honestly think that we should be bringing Jack Robinson down here and getting him to explain himself. Because, I don't want to hark back to the past days of glory in the old council, but at least we could meet with DRD Street Lighting and Road Service every month, month on month, and you could put in your request to them, and they generally did follow up. We haven't had one constituted meeting with those same people since this new council started, and they don't give a hoot about us anymore. And that's what I think, Chairman. It's just they've no respect or understanding at all for the role of the councillor now, and we're letting them off the hook. We should be bringing them down here and grilling them. And I would formally propose that we invite Jack Robinson down here till an immediate early meeting to discuss this important issue. Thank you, Chairman.
St. Henry, just to say that they actually were here at a meeting, but I don't disagree with your request that we get them here, because it is a serious issue and they are not dealing with it and they're failing to deal with it. So you proposed that and Davey has seconded it, so I think we're all in agreement.
I know what you're saying, Chairman, that they came to a meeting here, but the way that meeting was constituted, it was so difficult to actually...
No, Henry, I'm not saying what format the meeting took. I'm just saying they did appear. It would be wrong to say they weren't here.
They seemed to work very, very well.
Yeah, okay. Gary, sorry.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. No, on the same issue. I mean, it's gotten that bad, Chair. I mean, it's
Chair, even are we going by the light system?
It's even in the retail areas of our towns. I mean, Newry, for example, Mill Street, you know, a shopping street in Newry. There's lights out. I mean, the shop owners are all myself. I mean, they've been at it for months. They've been contacting directly. They're contacting councillors. You know. You know, people are paying rates, and indeed the rates are putting them out of business, and we can't even get the lights fixed for them. So it's pretty bad, you know, and if they won't fix the lights in the town centres, there's no hope for the people living out in the housing estates, Chair.
Yeah, I think it's acknowledged by all of us here there is an issue there, and say we have our proposal in a second that we get them in here for a special meeting. Sure. Brian, the reason I didn't call you in, because there's two red lights on at the one go.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. To go along with the... To go along with the issue of the lights, in a lot of the small rural estates, they are now fitting LED lighting, which I am receiving numerous complaints, particularly from the elderly, because they provide a very poor level of light. And is there any set figures? Could this council investigate them?
Brian, not to cut across you, but I think the meeting that we've requested, that'll be where you'll get your information and you can pass that request on to them before they come so that they have the answers for you.
Thank you for that, Brian.
Is that okay, Brian? And then we can move on. Harold.
Chairman, just...
Again, if it's the same, we'll have a meeting call,
I totally agree with the past speakers there on that Kilkeel, oh goodness, it's nearly in darkness now.
It's everywhere, Harold, to be fair. Every councillor could come in here and say exactly the same.
A large number of continuous lighting was to take priority over a single light. It's not happening.
I don't have street lighting.
Okay. Okay, we're moving on to number 18. It's the response from HM Treasury re-tax credits. Is that for information purposes? Just for information purposes. Anybody, any comments? No? There's another issue that was, I think, emailed out late today, so Liam's going to speak on it.
Yes, Chairman, that's the letter from Michelle O'Neill, which came in here on the 28th of January regarding, again, the Minister has announced support for businesses affected by the flooding. So it's just about that information. And again, any references from businesses should be to an Environmental Health Department who will carry out the visits and make the assessment.
So is everybody aware of that? If you have any issues with any people that you know out there business-wise, that you get in touch with our Environmental Health Committee. Declan, are you going to
see
anything different?
Well, initially, do you see, when the flooding took place, 2 weeks ago, there was nothing to get in place, and I know certainly I contacted the Minister to see could anything be put in place. But I'm just wondering, you know, the clean-up has happened, so can we be assured that, you know, if any councillors are, you know, that there's going to be a smooth, at the end of the day, assessment of premises that have now been cleaned, but the money has still been spent. So, you know, how are we going to manage to do this in retrospect, Liam?
And if you pass the details of your particular ones on to our Environmental Health Department?
Well, I mean, I've only heard about this, that it's been this has
yeah,
this
but I'm saying until they get details and go out and assess them, they can't really.
Well, yeah, but can we put these? Can we do these now in retrospect? We haven't to wait to the next flood.
Chairman, I can check out. We know where the flooding was. You know, we have people on the ground and representatives of people on the ground, so we'll be aware of where there was flooding the premises and which were reported through the flood line, which again, that information will be available.
Can I just ask, what, is this email from yourself this evening at the substage?
Sorry?
Have we information here somewhere?
That's already been uploaded onto the letter from Michelle O'Neill, has been uploaded on the minute pad.
Okay, didn't see it.
Okay. All right, Declan. Number 19, the sealing of documents. A proposal for that?
Chairman, the list of the documents there is retrospective sealing. Just read them out for the record. Extension to lease the household recycling centre, Downpatrick. Assisted car purchase scheme, environmental health officer. Service level agreement between the Heritage Railway, Market Street, Downpatrick and the council. Mayor Bridge Community Centre, release of the charge. Bunscull and Urey, lease agreement and renewal of existing license agreement in respect to advertising hoarding at Dublin Bridge, Urey Canal Bridge Road. Urey, just get a proposal and seconder, Chairman.
Proposer.
Sorry, could I just make a comment?
Mark.
Just on item 6 there. You know, a hoarding site in a city surely has a much higher value to the council than £3,000 per annum to even just advertise their own events on. I just don't really think you're getting full value for money out of that.
Chairman, we have taken that value from a professional valuers who have put the value onto it. It's not something that we do ourselves, but certainly I can follow it up with the valuers on that. But again, I suppose the agreement's been done. It's something we probably could look at for the period from the 1st of January. So we need to look at it for a year, for the next year, you know.
As an owner of a site in a town centre, a small town centre, I receive more than that. I would have thought from the council that spends a lot of money on advertising and the press or whatever, that they could make better use of it themselves by using it to advertise their own events.
Chairman, we'll look into it, but it said it'll be something for the future as opposed to because the agreement has been done and valued and it's been agreed between the person, so it's just signing the thing off at the moment.
Okay, Colin.
Thank you, Chair. Just if we're finished on those items, just to go back to the earlier item, there was reference to something being uploaded on the iPad today.
Could I get a proposer and a seconder for the sealing of the documents first? If we have a proposer, Sean and Terry. So, Colin, you're just asking information as when not going out.
Literally just now. I'm after. It was uploaded.
Sorry.
It's uploaded on your action sheet on MinutePad, but I'm after emailing it to everybody just for your information as well. So you should have it in your email box.
So it should be on your agenda, so it's an email for everybody's. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. On to item number 20 then, the notice of motion received from Councillors Hale and McAteer. Davey, yourself?
Try not to be too long, but funny enough, I joined this council, or the old council, back in the mid-90s, and sadly for me, one of the highlights was a few weeks before Christmas getting a batch load of diaries, both small and big, which I subsequently used and found very advantageous in terms of people who wanted the council diary of me, because it often contained useful numbers. I want to make a few comments about it. Not everybody is computer and internet friendly, and some of us, the old grey haired types, still like and still prefer hard copies, including diaries where we can keep records, which I think are indispensable in terms of contacts and useful telephone numbers and addresses, etc. And whilst I'm not in every committee in the council and don't know what how these matters are discussed and debated and decided on. But I would have liked for the full council to have an urn on this matter. And I think councillors that I have talked to have all agreed and said, yeah, diaries were a good thing. And finally, could I just say that we've had problems really in branding this new district, new area, Newry, Mourne and Down. There wouldn't have been a better way, I think, than having diaries like these. Let's go back to 96 or a different coloured one like that one from 2011. It would be no better way to brand the district and give out maybe a thousand diaries to members of the public to help us in that objective. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Councillor McAteer is not here. Have we another seconder for that motion?
Don't all jump.
No seconder. Afraid at that stage, then, Davey, it falls then.
Very good. That's the decision of the question.
Okay. Sorry, are you looking in, Gareth? It's fallen. Yep. Okay. Terry, you the same?
Yep.
Okay. Item number 21, notice of motion received from Councillors Hyland and
myself again, yeah. Well, this motion here is far more important, I think, because it refers to humanitarian issues. And I know, again, people might say, why are you bringing this up at this council level? We don't have any direct say or part to play in the workings of prisons. And Gavin Coyle is not from this district. However, because it's such a live humanitarian issue, and because I have met members of his family who are deeply concerned and worried about his health and well-being, I felt I was duty-bound to bring it to the council tonight. Gavin has been held in isolation for almost 5 years. 5 years, despite the average stay there of only 3 weeks. And this block where he's staying, this isolation block, has been described in the November Her Majesty's Prisons Report as old and shabby, with cells in a poor state of disrepair and the general environment oppressive. The report further stated that prisoners remained locked in their cells for at least 22 hours each day, in a regime which lacks basic humanitarian standards. And that's their words. So just think of that possibility in your own lives of staying in the same cell in isolation for 5 years on 22-hour lockup. The authorities have stated that Gavin Coyle has been held in these deplorable conditions because he is under threat from other fellow Republican prisoners. But nothing could be further from the truth. The reality is that Gavin is not under, or never has been under threat from the Republic buildings, landings, and this isolation is being used to try to weaken his resolve and make him susceptible to pressure and numerous approaches by MI5. Indeed, there are countless bodies, individuals and organisations, including those within the jail, who have accepted in private that no threats exist from fellow Republicans. And this fact was well demonstrated last year when a 48-hour fast was organised by all prisoners on the blocks, in support and solidarity with Gavin. So I think Gavin Coyle is being denied basic human rights, which should be granted to any prisoner, regardless of his political allegiance, his colour, his class, his creed. In fact, if any loyalist prisoner suffered in such a way, or any ordinary prisoner suffered in a way, I'd be the first to highlight that fact and expose it for all to see. Could I just remind you that a few years ago, a somewhat similar situation in the old legacy council of Newry and Mourne took place when a Newry man, Stephen Murney, was held in very dubious conditions and under very suspicious circumstances. The council were made aware of this, his plight of internment for over a year in McGabbery, and quite rightly, after the council exposure, he went to trial and was found not guilty by the judges. He is now awaiting compensation for his 15 wasted months in McGabbery jail. So, just to finish off by saying, for humanitarian reasons alone, a man, a prisoner, who is now on permanent suicide watch should be immediately transferred to the Republican wing in Roe House. And despite not having Kevin McAteer here to support the motion tonight, I'd ask all my fellow councillors, Republican Nationalists, Unionists and Independents, to support this motion tonight, just as Derry and Strabane Council has done so.
Thank you, Davey.
Thank
as
you.
You've said your seconder for the motion isn't here. Have we somebody to second the motion?
Chair, I'll second the motion and we will support the motion. Everyone's entitled to basic human rights and no one should be held in these conditions. We have no problem in supporting this motion.
Thank you, Terry. Gary?
Yeah, Chair, just on as the motion is written, I not pretend I don't know the full detail of the case, but it was going to suggest an amendment that rather than make it a direct decision tonight, I said we don't have the power to do that. We're not over prisons or whatever, but that maybe we would demand Davey's proposal that we would raise the case with the Minister for Justice. I would propose that, Chair. We'll make that amendment.
Have you a seconder for that? Colin? Do you accept that, Davey?
No, I'm going to the original motion.
Going to the original motion, okay.
Put the amendment
to the floor then. Okay. Do you want to...
Jerry, just clarify.
Jerry, could you just go again for clarification for everyone?
Yeah, just
amending, Chair, that amending David's proposal that we would raise the issue, raise the matter with the raise the case with
the Minister for Justice.
Minister for Justice.
Okay, so you're still going ahead with your amendment, Gary? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I put the amendment to the floor, just to show of hands. Then those for the amendment. And those against the amendment.
Maybe we'll just raise your hands again, just from
those against.
14.
So the amendment's lost.
So
the amendment's lost. We then move to the motion then. Motion. So again, the show of hands, those for the motion. Okay, and those against the motion?
1, 2, 3.
And abstentions? So the motion's carried.
15 for, 3 against, and 12 abstentions.
Okay, thank you, councillors.
Thanks, Mick. That's great.
Home early.
Please.